If you have your Bibles, turn with me to the book of Job, chapter 42. Somebody said when they first got saved, they were so spiritual, ignorant, that they thought it was the book of Job. Job chapter 42, begin at verse number 12, and for the reading of God's word. So the Lord blessed the latter end of Job more than his beginning. For he had 14,000 sheep, 6,000 camels, 1,000 yoke of oxen, and 1,000 she asses. He had also 7 sons, 3 daughters. And I want to paraphrase the names, okay? He called the name of his first Jemiah, the second Kenzie, and the third Karen. And in all the land were no women found so fair as the daughters of Job, and their fathers gave them inheritance among their brethren. Verse 16. And after this, somebody say, after this. Lived Job 140 years and saw his sons and his sons' sons, even 4 generations. So Job died, being old, full of days. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. After this, some people abandon God when hardships or tragedy comes into their lives, unfortunately. Yet there are others who will stand in the fierceness of storms, never wavering in their faith. I want to be like that. So when we think of Job, his very name is a point of reference for the worst suffering any of us could ever imagine or even go through. Job was living a great life. He had a beautiful family, was very wealthy and successful. Then one day, out of nowhere, the calamity struck from every side. When we read the book of Job, we see that conversation took place between God and the angels, which included Lucifer, Satan, the fallen angel, one of. And while God was bragging on Job, he said something to the effect, perhaps, have you noticed this guy by the name of Job? He's one of my top servants. Top servant of mine. One of the finest men you'll ever see on the face of the earth. He's blameless. A man of integrity, one that fears me with great love, total devotion, staying away from all sin and evil. Then in the midst of all of that, perhaps, you hear someone or somebody clearing their throat. And as they interrupt God, bragging on Job, they said, oh, come on, give me a break. You give me just a little time with this man, and I'll show you exactly what he's made out of. God did allow Satan to bring Job a series of difficulties that shook his life to his very core. In one day, he lost his children, his possessions, yet somehow he maintained his integrity and sanity in spite of his wife's encouragement. Job's response was this: I came naked from my mother's womb, and I will be naked when I leave this world. The Lord has gave me what I have, and the Lord will take it away. Praise the name of the Lord. Found in Job chapter 1, verse 21. So now we come to our text. This message won't be long tonight, but I hope you get the point. Verse 16, as I had you to repeat those two words, after this. after this. Lived Job 140 years, and he saw sons and his sons' sons, even four generations. So what happened after this? What happened after this? We find out that our faith is strong, really is by how we act or react. We talked about that Wednesday night in our class, act or react. Well, we find out how strong our faith really is on how we act or react toward adversity and difficulties that come into our lives. Amen. Someone once said, character is not made in a crisis, it's revealed. Character is not made in a crisis, it's revealed. And oh, how true it is. When our human emotions become affected by the circumstances of our life, it's hard for us to breathe sometimes. It's hard for us to get over the hump. It's hard for us to really trust and believe God with all of our hearts. One of my favorite songs, especially of here late, and I've got several, that I heard in passing somehow a few weeks ago, and Sister Diane and I have played it over and over and over. And the way it was written, there was a man in Missouri that had twins, and one of them had some specific and really bad birth defects, and he was overwhelmed. He was taken back by the circumstance and couldn't believe that God would allow something like that to happen. One child perfect, the other one with so many problems and circumstances. But the name of that song is God Already Knows. Have I mentioned that before? Here in church? No? Well, guess what? One of these days, I'm going to get it known and repeat it enough, me and Sister Horton's going to sing it. It goes something like this. Before he promised him a child, God looked at Abraham and smiled, because God already knew. When Isaac on the altar lay, God knew he had spared his life that day, because God already knew. Trust the heart of Jesus when the sun will not break through, and when taken by surprise, know that God already knew. Before he heard his sister cry, God knew that Lazarus would rise, because God already knew. Aren't you glad? Is somebody in the house excited and thankful that God already knows what you're going through? Before he healed the crippled man, God knew that he would walk again, because God already knew. Before your heart was made to break, God knew that he would make a way, for God already knew. And before you face tomorrow's task, God sees it all as in the past, because God already knew. So trust the heart of Jesus when the sun will not break through, and when you're taken by surprise, know that God already knew. So in the circumstances of Job's life, character is not made in a crisis, it's revealed. God already knew. The circumstances of Job's life and the turmoil that he went through and all the loss that took place. In verse 16, it says, after this, and our God already knew. Even though he does not allow us to see the end of the circumstances, he allows us to go through it, let our faith arise and be encouraged and strengthened so God can bring us to the point that he desires for us to be used the greatest. In and through our crisis. Are you all awake tonight or sleeping? Just wondering. Makes me think of that scripture, the dead in Christ shall rise first. In and through our crisis, and every one of us. us happen, and some more severe than others. It will either make us or break us. Our character will be revealed through our humility or our arrogance. Well, I better say that again, hadn't I? Our character will be revealed through our humility or our arrogance. I'm talking about a crisis. We will either acknowledge God for bringing us through the most difficult times of our life. We will either acknowledge God for bringing us through the most trying, difficult times of our life, or will we become arrogant in that we feel our ability and our strength has helped us get it through this? So what about after this? After this, Adam and Eve, God made him a helper, or Adam, God made a helper, Eve. And in the beautiful, perfect garden, after this, they listened to a voice that got them expelled from their garden perfect home. After this. After this, King Saul was blessed and made king of Israel. And in the Old Testament, we realize and understand that he decided that he thought he could take the place of the high priest. So he made an offering, a sacrifice. He decided that he knew what was best. And so we find that Saul got too big for his britches in 1 Samuel chapter 15. And God brought judgment on him and his sons. After this. After this. In the life of Korah, his rebellion against Moses, along with 250 well-known men, tried to override Moses' authority and his anointing that God had given him in Numbers chapter 16, and the ground was opened up and swallowed them. After this, after Jesus told Peter that you will be tested, Satan will try you, Satan will come at you and buffet you, Peter, after walking and talking with Jesus, after being one of the 12, after Jesus speaking to him specifically, after Satan trying him, Peter become way too cocky when the rooster crowed. You'll get that tomorrow. Mark chapter 14, verse 72. Some of these I guess I've used too much and y'all aren't. But after this, my point is that we can, in our arrogance, feel like we've got it all figured out. Or we can become humble before God, acknowledging that He's got everything in control and He already knows. So after this, guys headed toward the temple, and a lame man said, I just need a little bit to get a McDonald's cheeseburger. And they said, silver and gold have I none. But after this, he rose up, leaping, praising, and running into the sanctuary, worshiping and praising God. He was healed as he went into the church, giving God praise and giving God glory. It was after this, in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, after Paul's suffering, all that the ministers of Christ, that he said, I speak as a fool. I am more in labor, more abundant in stripes, above measure, in prison more frequently, in death often. In the Jews, 5 times revealed, 40 stripes save one. Verse 25 said, thrice I was beaten with a rod, once I was stoned, twice I suffered shipwreck, day and night I spent in the deep. Verse 26, and in journeying often, in peril in the waters, in peril of robbers, in perils of mine own countrymen, in perils of my brethren, perils of the city, in perils of the wilderness, in perils of the sea, in perils among false brethren. After this. Paul said, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. After this, he told of the church at Philippi, chapter 4, verse 13. James put it like this in James chapter 1. He said, I count it all joy when I fall into diverse temptations, various things that come my way. After this, I still count it all joy. Is anybody with me tonight? Paul said, after this. 2 Timothy, after all the things I just read to you that he went through, That was Peter. Paul said it like this in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 6. For I am now ready to be offered. The time of my departure is at hand. I've fought a good fight. I've finished my course, and I've kept the faith. Verse 8. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me on that day. And not to me only, but to all them also that love his appearing after this. After this. So I encourage you tonight, church, and all that you experience and all that you have gone through, all the trials, and as long as we're here on this earth till Jesus comes, and I believe that that's very soon, as I expounded to you this morning, we're going to face things and we're going to go through things, but I encourage you to stay faithful, because God already knows and He'll take you through. He'll take you through. Somebody said that He'll pull you through the knot hole if you can stand the pull. Amen. He said He wouldn't put nothing on you that you wasn't able to deal with. So when things come our way, church, we don't understand. We don't like. Don't put your faith in a person. Don't even put your faith in a church. Put your faith in Jesus Christ. Because He is the only one. Put your faith in Jesus Christ, because He is the only one. He will sustain you. He will keep you in the worst, most difficult times in your entire life. God already knows. He already knows. Romans chapter 8, verse 18 said, For I reckon, the writer of Romans had to be from Arkansas, don't you suppose? So why you say that? Because he reckoned. For I reckon that the suffering of this present time are not worthy to be compared to the glory which is to be revealed in us. Listen, we oftentimes forget that this world and everything we face is temporary. It's only temporary. It will pass away. But what we're looking forward to is eternal, that will never pass away. For the earnest expectations of the creature waited for the manifestations of the Son of God. God, if you'll stay faithful, God will bring you through, and He will manifest His power. He will manifest His honor, His glory in your life through what He has accomplished in you. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willing, but the reason of him who hath subjected the same in hope. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. I don't know if you completely understand it tonight or not, but what I preach to you this morning, there should be something within inside of you that is groaning and yearning and longing for that redemption to come to us and to bring us as we are separated from this earthly body and given a brand new heavenly body. There ought to be something inside of us that's churning, that's saying, Come, Lord Jesus, come quickly. Come quickly. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of the corruption within the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit. Even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our bodies. There should be a desire that literally groans within us as we wait for the redemption of our bodies. Can I tell you tonight, church, we have a choice. We have a choice. And after this, after all that you have went through, we give God praise and we give God the credit. We give God the glory. And regardless of what happens in our life, we're still going to serve Him. We're still going to honor Him. Amen. And we're still going to love Him. Amen. Because God already knows. He cares about you. He understands where you're at. He understands what you're going through. He knows He will not put anything on you greater than you cannot bear. So hang on to God with everything that's within you, knowing that the redemption of our body is soon and very soon. We should be looking up, because our redemption is drawing nigh. Would you stand with me all over the building tonight?